Legislative Finance, giving an overview of the governor's proposed budget. Before I begin there, I make note of the members present. Got co-chair John Torgerson, Senator Lehman, Senator Wilkin, Senator Adams, Senator Green, and Senator Randy Phillips, and myself, Sean Parnell. Today, Mr. Teal is going to provide an overview of the governor's proposed budget for the next fiscal year. I've also asked him to answer a couple questions. One is whether the requirements of the Executive Budget Act have been fulfilled in the presentation of the budget, and if not, what's needed from OMB to comply with the Executive Budget Act. And then the second question is what additional fiscal information is needed to analyze the governor's proposed budget, and I've asked him to highlight any additional information that we should request with respect to the various departments. So with that, David, if you'd come to the table, we'd appreciate it. And David, if you could just identify yourself for the record, and then you can go ahead. I didn't talk with you before the meeting, but how long is your initial presentation, Mr. Teal?
It should be only about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. If we could let Mr. Teal just get through his presentation, then we can open it up to questions, just as we did with Anna Lee. I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is David Teal. I'm Director of the Legislative Finance Division. And my staff and I are here at your disposal throughout this entire budget process. And we all know the task this year is particularly difficult. You heard Commissioner Condon and Chuck Logsdon go through revenue projections for next year. And I won't repeat any of that, but I should probably say that we have no reason to question those revenue forecasts. You also heard Annalee McConnell from OMB talk about the 2000 budget and note that there were general fund expenditure reductions of about $13.5 million. Our analysis shows that the operating budget, and these are general fund figures I'm quoting here, operating budget is up $72.8 million. The capital budget is up $27.5 million. Debt service and some other small expenses are down $42.7 million. So the net there is about a $57.6 million increase. And what I'd like to do is describe how and why we differ from the governor's proposal. First is that the Legislative Finance Division bases its analysis on information contained in the governor's appropriations bills, not necessarily his press releases or speeches, that sort of thing. So that what we have right out of the block here is that $7.4 million in increments requested by the court system are omitted from the press release information, but are, of course, included in the appropriations bill. Similarly, there's $15 million of efficiencies and other things that they expect to cut with the cooperation of the legislature that are included as reductions in the press release material, but, of course, don't appear in the appropriations bill. Second, there's the governor's budget includes expenditure reductions that are contingent upon statutory changes or unspecified legislative action. Some of those, that $15 million cut may fall into that category, but certainly the longevity bonus program does, where they're expecting to come in with a bill proposing income caps on longevity bonus recipients and saving some money. That should, in our opinion, that would be legislation and should be reflected in a fiscal note rather than built into the budget assumptions themselves. There are a number of technical changes, fund source changes, other things that differ from precisely what was reflected in session law last year. Those total probably $1 million or less, and we discussed them with OMB. We consider them to be very minor technical changes that will be fixed in the committee process. And also, the governor's budget classifies some expenditures as off-budget by specifying that both the revenues and the expenditures associated with them are other funds rather than general funds. We believe that the legislature's power of appropriation is not only how much is appropriated for a particular project or in total, but also the power of appropriation includes the authority to specify the source of those funds, and therefore the governor should not be creating new fund sources. That's completely up to the legislature to do that. The governor's budget does include three sources, new revenue sources that fall in that category. One is motor fuel tax. It's about $26.7 million. And the other one is, increased Pioneer's home receipts. That's relatively small at $2.4 million. And then there's the tobacco tax settlement receipts, which should be about $21.9 million. And I'd like to point out that those are not necessarily misclassification of funds. And, for example, on the tobacco tax settlement, there's probably very good reason to separately identify those funds. And the reason for that is that the federal government may require that at least 50% of those expenditures be spent on public health. So you would want to classify them separately to make sure that they are being spent on public health. If they're spent as proposed in the governor's plan, there's no concern about that because he's got about 20 of the 21 million spent on public health issues. But again, we believe that in the governor's budget submittal, they should be classified as general funds until the legislature takes action on them. In addition to those financial differences, I guess we should say that the collective bargaining agreement, any salary increases, are not included in the governor's budget except for the university's $5.6 million. And we also believe that the FY99 supplemental requirements appear to be understated by a significant amount. The amount set aside was $16.5 million, and we've identified potential supplemental requests that probably exceed $50 million, including the Y2K problem of 19 point something million that was, I think you received this morning, over the weekend. Also, the governor's budget typically increases as a result of technical corrections. Last year, that was up by about $11.7 million in general funds between the time of introduction and the 45th day. So we can't expect any of those to be reflected in the budget, but it's just something the committee needs to be aware of, that if this year is like other years, you can expect the original budget to increase by some amount. There's also a question of Alaska Housing Finance Corporation receipts. Last year, the legislature had, in the front section of the appropriation bill, a paragraph or a section that said the intent of the legislature is to use any unobligated, unexpended receipts. They would lapse into the general fund. And the governor's budget uses those receipts as to pay off debt service this year. So,
Senator Kelly, could you clarify what fund were you talking about there? I missed it.
Alaska Housing Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Corporate receipts. And that's $23.6 million of leftover money from last year that was intended to go into the general fund, but we spoke to legal services about it, and it's clear that section does say intend. It doesn't carry the weight of an appropriation. So that's the reason you'll see on your handout, which you should have in front of you. Page one of that handout shows a significant reduction in debt service from $46 million last year to $5.7 this year. And the AHFC receipts, as well as some tobacco tax receipts, are the primary reasons for that decline. And then also the ADA receipts, $18.8 million. This year are not being channeled through the general fund. They're being spent directly as receipts and going to the capital budget. And I guess you could probably look at page two of the handout, which is some position counts. And all of these pages are excerpts from the Legislative Fifth Forum overview of the budget, which I'm not sure when it was printed, but each office should have one by this time. It's the blue cover this year, and these pages are simply excerpts from that document. Unless there are questions, I really don't know that it's worth spending a lot of time on the position comparison. As you know, the PCN count is not equal to the number of employees. As OMB testified last week, we have a number of things that these are not all generally funded positions. Some are created with fiscal notes, and they're not. They're newly reflected in the budget, but are not necessarily new positions. We can produce this list by component if you want, but I think all of that will come up in subcommittee deliberation. And the Senate also, this Finance Committee also asked a number of questions related to funding and so on, and I think we're looking forward to those responses from OMB as much as this committee is. Third page of the handout is operating budget, and you'll see that that's a $4.2 billion budget for 2000, and $166 million more than FY99 authorized, and an increment of $73 million. The chart on that page shows you that 47% of that goes to grants and claims. That's primarily K-12, the foundation formula, and health and social services programs, either Medicaid or welfare programs. And then near the bottom of the page, it shows a split between formula and non-formula, or agency operating expenses. And it's interesting there that those are pretty evenly split, each of them roughly equal to the fiscal gap in FY99 or FY2000. The capital budget, page 4 of the handout, is approximately a $939 million appropriations bill, which meant $264 million less than last year. The reason for that reduction is primarily changes in the bond issues. HFC and International Airport bonds were issued last year, and this year there are some offsetting reductions, or offsetting increases in most of the federal receipts, bit in general fund, and the approach to receipts. So the net is up $27.5 million in general funds. And obviously, again, if the aid receipts have been channeled through the general fund instead of going directly to the capital budget, it would be up another $18.8 million in general. That's all I have for the overview, but the two questions that you asked me to respond to, I can say that on additional information, we do now have the detailed budget pages that OMB provided. But the overview was prepared without them, so that causes some potential problems, because in some cases it can just make Ledge Finance look a little silly, because we may have described things like the court system at a $79,000 increment for ADA compliance. And then it turns out in the detail budget that's a $79,000 increment, $19,000 for ADA, and $60,000 for case management software. It's still $79,000, and it's a relatively small amount in this budget, so it just makes us look like we didn't pay as much attention as we should have, when really it's lack of detail that causes us to do those sorts of things. On a much larger level, we have things like the PCE, Power Cost Equalization Program. And in the overview, we see $17 million appropriated last year and $17 million appropriated this year, and the conclusion is that everything is fine. The detail budget show that everything is not fine in that program. It's other funds. The fund source is gone. Well, it will be gone this year. There's about $3 million in it, which will be supplemented by another $3.5 million or so in receipts. It's just an arrangement, financing arrangement from the Fordham pool receipts. So that they are short about $9.6 million to fund PCE at a three-quarters funding level of $17 million. So conceivably, the power cost equalization program needs in general funds somewhere between $9.6 and $15 million to be fully funded. We presume that comes from general funds because there is no backing for the funding in the budget. Now, OMB would say that they didn't tell us about that or tell you about that because there's a task force report coming out at the end of this month which should explain that. And I will say that the detail makes it very clear where we are with power cost equalization, but you're just not going to see those things without the detail. And by law, the detail is supposed to come to us the first Monday in January, and off your second Monday in January in election years, so that we should have had that material by January 8th and did not. Again, though, we have it now, and to the extent that all of these issues will be talked about in subcommittee, this is more a matter of timing than anything else. Similarly, the Executive Budget Act calls for the governor to submit a mental health bill, a capital bill, an operating bill, and any other bills that specify new sources of revenue. Clearly, the motor fuels tax funding source would require new legislation. We don't have a bill for that. The tobacco tax settlement requires model legislation to receive the $21.9 million, roughly, that we're going to receive for the next 25 years. But if we do not pass model legislation, there will be a significant reduction in the amount that we receive. That amount is not fixed, as OMB testified last week. And that we haven't seen that model legislation yet, but know it needs to pass. Pioneers Homes, again, we haven't seen legislation, but it may be that no legislation is required for that. It's simply a fee increase and a change of fund source. There's at least one and probably two bills that were not submitted on December 15th. There are some other things, six-year capital plan, which is a requirement, but has been very casually followed and just as casually enforced in recent years. As I mentioned, we are supposed to get an advanced copy of the detail books. I guess if I had my wishes, I'd say please give us the detail as early as possible. Right now, they had until January 8th of this year. We didn't get them until, well, they sort of dribbled in. I think we got the last ones about the 15th or so. And, of course, that's what we use to really compare the budgets. We can't do the job for you unless we have the information from OMB. So I would love to see an amendment to that statute saying that it will come in by the 29th of December or so that we have more time to spend with them. There are a number of minor differences with the Executive Budget Act in terms of state of the budget address called for a lot of technical information. May have been provided along with the speech, but which we haven't seen, demographics and other information. Same with capital budget support. We have absolutely no documentation on the capital budget. You have a hearing this week on capital budget, I believe, and we still have no documentation to accompany that bill. In theory, they should be telling us for every project, if it's an existing project, how much money was spent in prior years and the source of funds for all new projects, and a whole bunch of technical information that isn't provided. They're also supposed to, the administration is supposed to provide quarterly reports to the legislature comparing accomplishments with plans. Again, I'm not familiar with any of those. Maybe you guys, maybe the legislature has seen them. We haven't. So, you know, the question, did they comply with the Executive Budget Act? Not really, but for years it's been very casual. And as I said, just as casually enforced.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Torgerson and Senator Kelly.
I'll start it off. On the debt service, can you tell us what the actual debt service is? It seems by your testimony that it's really not 5.7, that they reallocated funds somewhere around $35 million for Alaska Housing or aid of dividends toward that. So the debt service is actually not down hardly anything this year.
Jim, would you like me to answer directly?
You can answer directly.
I guess I probably should know precisely what debt service is, but I don't. All I can say is you're correct in saying that you've got tobacco tax of 8.1 and you've got debt, the AHFC money from last year of 23.6. So that's roughly 30, a little more. And that would have been called general funds under some circumstances, and that, yes, debt service hasn't really declined by that much, but I should say that debt service is declining, just general fund obligations are declining. In fact, we're done with all general fund obligations.
Okay, thanks. The supplemental, in your view, you said you've identified $50 million. What else do you have besides Y2K and big numbers? Fishery disaster, I'm sure, would be part of that.
Well, this afternoon we're looking at the PCE as a probable supplemental, and that's just an assumption. We know that the chronically, well, what used to be called general relief medical needs $1 million. We know that corrections needs a fairly large supplemental, but don't know precisely what it is. And child support enforcement, you know, I guess you said big numbers. Some of these are only $1 million or so.
What is the fishery disaster?
We don't know yet. And then, of course, power cost equalization at somewhere over 9.6.
One last question. Have you identified any savings in the retirement system first? Where did you get into that?
We didn't even look at retirement savings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question on the PCE. You were saying that this year that the PEC runs out quite soon. So you said there was only $3 million in there?
3.2.
Mr. Chairman, last week when Ms. McConnell was testifying, I got the impression that there was about a full year plus about another 6 months in it.
For PCE.
For PCE. Was that what we were told?
Maybe Mr. Teal could answer that.
As Senator Adams is saying, there may be some confusion about this year. I guess when I say this year, I'm meaning 2000. There is funding for FY99.
Mr. Chairman, I'm aware of that, but maybe I was confused about what Ms. McConnell's testimony was, but I was under the impression that we could appropriate a full year and had the resources to appropriate a full year for FY2000, and then somewhere in FY2001 that we would run out. Was that your impression of the testimony given?
I guess my impression was that they were doing something with it. What it is, I don't know. I can say that the detailed forms from in the community and regional affairs budget show that the power cost equalization fund, which is the source of funds for the program, has nowhere near enough money. Roughly, it's 3.2 or 3. Something million dollars in it.
For 2000.
Mm-hmm. In addition, there's cash flow from the four dam pool receipts to go into. That's another 3 something million dollars, leaving you $9.6 million short to get up to the $17 million funding level. Presumably, that 9.6 must come from general funds. It can either come in the operating budget, the capital budget, or it may be a fiscal note. And I guess what I'd say on these fiscal notes is to notice that the budget includes fiscal notes for longevity bonus, where there's a $5.3 million savings. And we think that should be left out. Same way, if legislation is required to fix power cost equalization, that should be left out of the budget and be put in as a fiscal note. But I guess I suspect that the way it will be handled is the 99 supplemental, because that way it sort of gets left out of the numbers game.
Dr. Kelly? You had said that debt service general fund obligations are finished up in the year 2000.
General obligations.
Okay. The bonding that we did last year, when does that kick in?
Those were AHFC bonds and some international airport bonds.
Oh, those aren't, okay. But they're, so the general fund, okay.
Other questions? It's a slow Monday morning for people. Senator Adams.
A couple questions. Well, before we get on their PCE, there was a Blue Ribbon Commission set up with Senator Pierce and myself on the committee. We do have a report and should be interest to all members when we get to that particular debate. The question I have has to do with, we always discuss the employees, and we have a number of 598 in this particular report. Can you tell us the number that we as legislators put in there on a statutory basis of the laws or appropriations that we pass, that we did ourselves versus the administration? Have you broken that down yet?
No, Senator Adams. And as I said, I'm looking forward to getting OMB's report on that. I think we probably could have, but it would have required us to do a lot of contact with the agencies, and quite frankly, the agencies are difficult to get information out of at this time, because OMB is definitely in charge on this one.
Senator Adams, on that, I fully recognize, as do many members of the committee, that some of those positions are the result of the new youth correctional facilities, as well as one new ferry.
New ferry, yes. And Mr. Chairman, if I may continue, there are times that we have creative financing. We do, and the administration do, it different ways of putting these together. And it's very easy to criticize a budget, whether it's the administration's budget or perhaps ours that we will be doing. We can cut this budget as many times as we want, $20, $30, $100 million, but it doesn't solve the long-term financial problem that we have. Though you're criticizing some of the areas, and rightly so, without having the material or the information that should be gotten to the legislature, do you, as Leds Finance, have a solution on solving the problem that we have? Do you have any proposals that you will submit to from Leds Finance to us legislators?
No, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Adams. And I didn't see that as David Teal's job. I thought it was his job to point out the difference between last year and this year, and that's what he's done today. David, I've got one question, or several for you. On page three of your handout, which is a snapshot of the operating budget, the governor proposes a total operating budget of $4.2 billion. I take it then, if we were to add that together with the capital budget and then the permanent fund dividends, you know, in terms of appropriation, what is the state's total spending?
It's $6.525
billion total spending, including all sources of funds at that point. Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Senator Adams.
It's very easy, Mr. Chairman, to say that the total amount is 6.5, but the fact is, you know, sometimes I think what we create is in the public's eye, facts that maybe we need to look at is oranges and oranges, and that what we're dealing with is general fund dollars, and if we're dealing about approximately $2.3 million. And I think, you know, sometimes we need to stick in that vein. It's easy to get the total amount of $6.5 billion versus a $2.3 billion. And basically, I'd like to just state when we have these discussions is either state them that we're talking about general fund dollars, and that 2.3 general fund dollars, of which is formally funded programs, as we have stated here, it's very hard to make cuts with the other 1.1 that is non-general fund dollars, and that's, you know, that's a debate we'll have later, and that's why I'd like to stick to. Sometimes the public can get confused thinking that we have $6.5 million for us to spend, and which is not correct.
Actually, Senator Adams, it is correct that we spend a total amount of $6.5 billion. And I think what you're alluding to is that in terms of the fiscal gap, we're talking about general fund dollars, which is in that $2.3 billion range. And when I ask my constituents how much does the state spend, they think $2.3 billion or $2.4 billion is their, around $2 billion is their general response. And I'm trying to give an accurate picture of total spending, and then we can have the debate over reductions to the general fund spending to deal with the fiscal gap. So that point is well taken. Yeah. Any other questions for David Taylor? Senator Wilkin.
Mr. Chairman, last week when we had the overview for Ms. McConnell, this sheet balancing the FY 2000 budget, I had asked where the $25.6 million negative number came under operating budget reduction. And I was referred to a sheet that looks like this. Our office is struggling with trying to come up with that 25.6. So I'd like to ask if David could help us try to understand that particular sheet. And we don't need to do it at this table, but sometime between now and
any other questions? Senator Lehman.
Chairman David, when you were going through the overview, you said of that general fund increment of $73 million, that there's a big part of that was K-12, and then I think as you brushed through it, you said just in, of the big items, there was health and social services, and I thought you mentioned welfare programs, but maybe you did not. Maybe I was just thinking about them and didn't jot it down. But in the welfare programs themselves, is there an increment? If so, I don't have that information yet.
We have it, but rather than misquote,
I just thought if you just had it off the top, but we can get into the detail later. But I'm
David, at the beginning of your presentation, you went through some numbers that got us to a $57 million general fund increase in the governor's proposed budget. And could you run through those again? It was $72 million and 27 something, and then a reduction. Could you go through those?
The operating budget is up $72.8 million. The capital budget is up $27.5 million, and debt service is down $42.7 million. Now, what I should probably say here is that Senator Adams is right. The bulk of this difference is in what you call things,
okay.
And that our differences are primarily that motor fuels tax, pioneers homes receipts, and tobacco tax in the governor's budget are called other funds. They're off budget. We consider them to be general funds, and of course that's the revenue side of the picture, but those monies are also spent, and if you're going to spend them, you need to spend them from the same revenue source that they come in as, so that we see them as general fund increases where they simply leave them off on the revenue side and off on the expenditure side. We put them in on the revenue side and in on the expenditure side. So in terms of fiscal gap, there's no difference. Now, the fiscal gap relative to this $13.5 million, that's not a gap. That's simply expenditures. The gap, of course, is revenues versus expenditures, and that gap has increased approximately $200 million based on what you heard last week from Commissioner Condon and Chuck Logsdon. The oil forecasts are down, I think it's $198 million. So here it depends on whether you want to focus on general fund expenditures or on the fiscal gap.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would you say that increase, if you use a number of 72.8, would you say that number of increase in general fund was caused by we legislators, when we passed, and I'll use Senate Bill 36 as an example, that we needed $26 million last year, also that went along with it, some of the examinations and benchmarks and assessments that we had for school systems around the state, or that perhaps that we passed legislation having to do with adult and youth correction facilities, that we try to upgrade those, or that perhaps federal legislation, like in Medicaid and adult public assistance and changing that type of formula, it was caused by something like that versus the administration just put in it. It was caused by maybe both the legislature and the administration together.
Absolutely.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say that in the hand-holding of responsibility here, that last year the House and the Senate were involved in some cuts as well that the governor was never, ever involved in.
All right. It's getting lively for Monday morning. Anybody else?
I heard last October that he was.
Yeah. Especially a lot of any other questions for David Teal?
Never.
Together. Thank you, David.
Chairman.
Anything else to come before the committee this morning? Tomorrow, Senator Torgerson, we have tomorrow.
SB 28.
Yep.
We'll start our capital overview on the point B and maybe the other state water.
Thank you for coming. We're adjourned.